Friday, April 2nd, one of my memories of the White House will always be of convocations in the bedroom. Lyndon propped up in the great canopied bed, five newspapers stacked beside him, and a bale of night reading, making imperative-sounding telephone calls. Among those on the other end are very likely to be Bob McNamara and Mac George Bundy. And always coming and going, Jack Valenti, light of step and quick with a smile, and smooth, kindly Marvin Watson. This morning they were there, and Billy Graham came in, had a second cup of coffee, said his tentative goodbyes. We heard that Carl Vinson had arrived. This is one of the sweet, sudden things that Lyndon rather often does, share this house and his place with an old friend, an old fellow worker in the vineyard. This time, former Representative Carl Vinson of Georgia, for 50 years, a member of the House of Representatives, and much of that time, head of what was the Naval Affairs Committee when we first joined it in 1937, and later became the Armed Services Committee, affectionately called the Admiral. He'd retired last year, and Lyndon had asked him to come up from Georgia to be our house guest, to attend receptions and gatherings at the Capitol in his honor, and to be given a party here by us. My first question when I saw him was, who do you want to come see you this afternoon? Already the Georgia delegation was on the list, and the members who had served with them on the Naval Affairs Committee. And delightfully enough, he put on all of his neighbors up and down the street that he lived on for so many years, including especially the family of the lady who'd been his housekeeper after his wife died, Mr. and Mrs. Sneed, and their two children, one of whom was named Carl. He'd given them his house when he returned to Georgia. What a storybook sort of thing to do. I had lunch with Linda in my bedroom, she looking beautiful in a pink dress with a red coat, excited and enthusiastic about going to New York at 2 o'clock to stay at Mary Lasker's house and have dates with Dave, who remains the most interesting young man she knows, in spite of quite a few dates. Word began to creep through to me that we really were going to Camp David this afternoon after the reception for Carl Vinson. Delicious prospect. At 5:30, the chairman, so nearly everyone affectionately calls him, and I went downstairs to receive in the blue room, no telling when Lyndon would arrive. And the leadership filed by to pay respect to him. The speaker and Mrs. McCormick, lively little Carl Albert and his diminutive wife, and graceful Lindy Boggs with Hale. And of course the Georgia delegation, led by Herman and Betty Talmadge, but absent the star Dick Russell. And white-maned Mendel Rivers. He and I will never get through reminiscing about our whistle stop in Charleston, South Carolina last fall. He succeeded to Mr. Vinson's place as chairman of the Armed Services Committee. It was an interesting receiving line, well recorded by TV and the newspapers, including Mr. Vinson's nephew, Lieutenant Colonel Wilbur Vinson, and his wife. Lots of nice ladies with southern accents, many from Georgia, who kept on saying, "He was our boss for 30 years. I worked for him for 18 years." He'd included all the staff, bless him. It meant something for them to see him again and to be here at the White House. And it meant something for me to be able to share it with them. And Georgia Court of Appeals Judge Bobby Russell of Winder, Georgia, the senator's favorite nephew, who's out here in NIH with what we believe must be cancer. It chilled me to see him, so young, inheritor of such a fine name, so many cute children, able enough to use the political future that lay before him, but looking very thin and gray. Once more, I especially loved Lyndon when later in the evening he met him and said, "Now you just go on out to Camp David with us. Tell him out there that you'll be back tomorrow." He hesitated. I could see he wanted to, but he said, "No, I'd better get on out there and not interrupt these tests I'm taking." We talked about what a wonderful place NIH was, and he used the expression, "You know, I think they're right on the verge." Neither he nor I said of what, but we both knew that he meant a discovery about cancer, possibly a cure. The high point of the evening was the arrival of the Sneed family, mother and father, and little crew-cut Carl, bashful and rather silent, and his proud and outgoing 12-or-so-year-old brother, Tillman, and all the neighbors up and down the street. In fact, it was a delightful, reminiscent evening. Sterling Coles were there. We'd known him well as the outstanding Republican on the committee when we joined it in 1937. And I kept on meeting veterans of my whistle-stop train through Georgia. Lyndon tried to persuade Mr. Vinson to go with us to Camp David. But no, the helicopter was too much of an innovation for him. He'd actually come to Washington on the train. Without a doubt, the most impressive thing about the evening, to me, was seeing a man who had held great power for many years, his life in the House totaling 50 years, had said goodbye to it of his own accord and had no backward look. His face, his manner, all showed a happy man, grateful for returning to the scene where he'd labored for a day's celebration, but no regret at being separated from it. He left with his adopted family a little before 7, and I stayed till the last lingering guest had departed. Lyndon, who can make a big impression in a few minutes, had gone back much earlier to the office to mop up the day's work, and came back to get on the helicopter, grabbing up both dogs the last minute as he and I boarded it. Just before we left, there was a discordant note in the happy cacophony of departure. I glimpsed Mac George Bundy at the entrance. Lyndon asked him to get on. He rushed into the helicopter, thrust the copy of a speech into Lyndon's hands, and said, "I'm awfully sorry." Nobody could predict he would say anything like that. It concerned a speech that Prime Minister Pearson of Canada had made at a university in Philadelphia, in which he apparently had told us how to conduct the war in Vietnam. We flew off and arrived at Aspen Lodge a little past 8 to spend the weekend with the Busbys, the John Chancellors, the Valentis, including little Courtney Linda, Marianne Means, Emmett Reardon. Problems did not intrude, and we had a festive dinner, and then the happiest thing that could happen. Lyndon went off to sleep while we watched a movie. It is a treasure for him to go to bed early.